service. I wanted to welcome you to our worship service this morning, and you as online as well. Thank you and for being here, and hopefully we'll experience on this Valentine's Day the love of Christ in our hearts as well. A couple of announcements. Next week, we'll starting a combined Sunday school class for adults that will be meeting in classroom, the 1 and 2 classroom. Wednesday night, I hope to be leading a prayer session as we look for this journey that we'll be starting in our search for our new pastor and for Pastor Next. I think we'll start calling him that now, Pastor Next. And it'll be about half an hour of time of prayer that will hopefully focus on getting our hearts right for who God has for us next. Also in the bulletin, if you would like the contact information for the Whiting family, that is listed there as well. And we want to welcome Steve, who will share some information about his ministry and some information about how we can, or what God has for us today as well. Next is Pete's coming up for an announcement about the search team.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Just want to give you an update on the new pastor search committee. We met, our first meeting was last Wednesday for almost 2 hours. And I just want to give a little update on what we're doing. My name is Pete Golas. I'm an elder here at Weymouth. And I'd like to introduce the 11 members that we have on the search committee. So when I call your name, please stand up, let everybody know who you are. Russ is chairman of the committee. And we have Mike Bazemore, Bridget. Jim Martin is here. We have Don Branton in the back. Jim Stevens. Good. Laura Pixton. And Elaine Jackson and Emily Varner. So with our 11 members, each member has a particular role. Russ is chairman of the committee. Myself and Mike Bazemore are communication coordinators. Emily is a recorder and plans all the meetings. Bridget is our prayer coordinator. We have Jim Martin, Jim Stevens, and Don are the coordinators that will be going through all the resumes that come in. And we have, Matt Stein. He's not here today. He will be helping anywhere he can fit in. Let's see if I remember. Laura Pixton, with the help of her husband, and also Elaine, our hospitality coordinators. They will arrange transportation for our candidates from the airport, housing arrangements, dinners, things like that. So we met for just, like I said, just less than 2 hours. Got a lot done. I'm very surprised. One of the things we will be doing is communicating at least weekly with the congregation. Bridget is putting together an app that we can access through the computer, and that allows the congregation, anybody, to ask questions, to input their comments, suggestions. We'll be getting together a list of questions that we are going to ask the congregation in regards to the health of the church, the needs, what we want to see in the next pastor, things like that. So that's coming up. Bridget will have a working sample for us to look at next Wednesday. We meet at 7:30 right after the prayer for our next pastor that Russ is and Bridget is guiding and leading. So if there's any questions about what I've talked about today, just now. Please see me after the service. And like I said, we'll be updating the congregation weekly. Thank you. I'm sorry, one more thing which was important is our mission statement of the committee. The mission statement is, by the direction of the Holy Spirit, the search team will identify candidates to present to the Board of Elders for consideration as the next lead pastor of Weymouth Community Church. That is our mission, and we thank God that he has brought us together to do that. Thanks again.
Let's stand for prayer, and then we'll have our first song after that. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you for who you are. Lord, we thank you and praise you that you have loved us in such a way that you have adopted us into your family through your Son. We commit this service to you today, Lord, that our hearts will be open in worship and that your Spirit will guide and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, hello. Thanks for having us. We're so grateful. Let me get organized here a little bit. We are grateful as a couple to be here. Men, the first thing that you should be doing, those of you that are married, turn to your wife and tell her you love them, that you love her. It's Valentine's Day. Come on. PJ, 38 years, I love you, baby. All right. Let me start with prayer. Father God, I love you. Thanks for today. Thanks for this church that continues to shine. Thanks for the people here. We're grateful. We pray for our pastor that you give him safe journey and his next step here. We just lift him and his family up to you. Thanks for your love on us as a church, as a country. And we look forward to spending eternity with you. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Amen. All right. Well, we're here. 1835. That's when this congregation was formed. As I go online and I read about it and hear the stories, it's pretty amazing. Congratulations on that. I mean, it's just awesome. 1835. Little church at the bend in the road. That's what it was known as. Pretty cool. I love that. My first contact at this church was with Pastor Bob as a Gideon. I called on him, prayed in his office with him. I spoke at your church a couple times in the old building. We always remembered it as the church with the small pews for the big butt. And we regularly struggled in those pews, I want to tell you. But it was a warm church, and it still is a warm church, and we're grateful. We spent the first Sunday here in this building. Pastor Greg called us and said, we're having a picture taken outside and would like someone to stand at the door and not necessarily guard, but tell people as they come in where we're meeting. And that was a beautiful Sunday day. I don't know if you remember it or not. It was a huge amount of people out there. I looked for the picture, and I didn't see it anywhere, so let's get that back hanging up. I think that's a pretty cool picture to have in the building. Your support of the Gideon ministry continues through today. I was here 3 years ago and gave a short presentation. You support the Gideon card program as a church. When someone in the congregation passes away or a family member passes away, the church sends a Gideon card, buying Bibles and donating them in their name, which is a pretty cool thing to do. And every Saturday morning, the Gideon ministry prays for this church. And believe it or not, it rotates. There's 66 churches. It rotates. And on the Sunday that Pastor was leaving, that Saturday morning, your church popped up. So we prayed for you guys, 8 guys on our knees praying for you. And we continue to do that. Pam and I live in Hinckley. We have for 21 years. We've been Gideons for 35 years. When we were first invited to a Gideon function, it was a pastor's dinner, and we went and we sat, and there were literally hundreds of people in this huge room, and I looked and I said, I was so excited to hear about the ministry. And when it was over, I said to my wife, we have to get involved in this ministry. Did you see all those gray heads and bald heads? They need some youth in this ministry. And so we joined it, and it was fun. And 35 years later, look, I'm one of those guys. But it's a great ministry, and I'll be telling you more about that later. Our daughter, Hannah, is married to Caleb, and they have one grandson, Harvey. We love Harvey Esteban Nitz. Pam is with him one day a week, and we just love this little kid to death. But it reminds me of the story of the grandfather who had his grandson on his lap, and they're talking and exchanging, and the grandson looks at the grandfather's hand with all the old age spots and says, Grandpa, did God make you? And Grandpa says, yeah, God made me. And the little boy looks at his hand, and it's all smooth and clean. He says, Grandpa, did God make me? Grandpa says, yeah, he made both of us. He made you and me. And he looked down, he goes, he's doing a lot better job now, isn't he? My one grandpa story. So here we are. At home with our family and Harvey coming over once a week. We have a 29-year-old son, Stephen, who when he was young was excited about trains. And so when Harvey was born a couple years ago, we went down to the basement and we found a tub full of trains. It was the greatest discovery. PJ put it together on a table in the basement, and every time Harvey comes over, what does he say? Play trains, play trains. And so they go down the basement, and she now has five tracks of trains going for little Harvey, these little plastic trains, Thomas the Tank Engine. And on the train track is a car wash. It's a little spongy thing that the trains go through, and they turn around and they wash the train. And Harvey calls it a car wash. So his dad, Caleb, decided to take Harvey to a car wash, which he thought would be pretty cool. Now, kids these days have to have these seats that face backwards. You know, they're $500 a piece for these seats. I mean, when our kids were small, they just sat next to me. I'd even pick them up and let them drive the wheel. I mean, it's just a different time. If you did that now, you'd be arrested. But they have these huge monstrosity of seats, and it faces backwards. So for 2 years, Harvey's been facing backwards. So for the car wash, Caleb says, I'm going to bring him up front. So he sat him up front, he stood next to Caleb, and Caleb put the camera there to record because of train wash, car wash. And so Harvey's just so excited. His eyes got so big, and he's in the front seat, and he can see the water starting to come, but he didn't know it was coming. And so they got this big SUV with big windows and a window up on top, and all of a sudden the water started pouring. And the brushes started coming, and you could see Harvey just getting fear in his eyes. The excitement went to fear, and all of a sudden he's saying, no, no, take me home. And Caleb's there next to him saying, Harvey, it's okay, Dad's here, it's just water, we're cleaning the car. Harvey's saying, no, take me home, Mommy, take me home. And Caleb's there continuing to say, I'm here with you, Harvey, it's okay. And they got through the car wash, and the wind stopped blowing. That's the last thing that happens. And they got through the car wash, and they come out, and Caleb says, see, Harvey, the car is all clean, and it's all dry, and it's all taken care of. And Harvey's got this big smile on his face, even with what he's been through. And Caleb says, car wash done. And Harvey turns around and says, bye-bye, car wash. And Caleb says, do you want to come again? Oh, yeah, let's do this again. Let's do this again. So here we are in 2021, and a lot of us are going through some of those things like Harvey did with the car wash. A lot of us are going through, myself included, illness, going through old age and how it changes your life. And we have fears about family issues, our parents or grandparents or even our children. Finance, the finance that this situation that we're in has caused, jobs, loss of jobs, changes in jobs, staying home for your job, all these things that are coming at us as a person. The elections, all that that did to us as a country, tearing us apart and dividing us so violently. Protests that went on, and the ugliness, and the fires, and the just, you never thought it would be in the United States. All these things are coming at us, and the fear that adds up. Changes in our church. A sinful country that we have right now, unfortunately, with abortion just rampant and all the different facets that come out that are against a Christian value. And add on to all of this a worldwide pandemic. That's on top of all of that. You can understand why people would have fear or people would have anxiety. We're almost saying like Harvey, no, no, take me home. But seated next to us on this ride is Jesus, just like Caleb was with Harvey. Knowing I was coming here this week, I really researched. I mean, I did some investigation. The internet is just amazing, what you can find on there. So I did some research, and I'm ready to give you some quotes, some sources, some notes, some recommendations to take care of that situation that we have to go through together. First one is in Isaiah 41. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteousness and the righteous right hand. I mean, those are the words from the creator of the universe. We shouldn't be stressed. We shouldn't have fears. Psalm 56, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Joshua 1, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I kept having to remind my wife and I during the election. We did our duty. We voted. And everything is in God's hands. Whether we like the results or not, God's in control. And all these words coming from the Creator reinforce that. Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 41, for I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. He's here. He's in control. We don't have to worry about these things. Psalm 23, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Words from the creator of the universe. 1 Peter 5, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. He cares for you and he cares for me. 2 Timothy, for the Spirit of God gave us, does not make us timid, but it gives us power, love, and self-discipline. This isn't from some faraway guy over in Asia coming up with these thoughts. These are direct thoughts and prayers right from our Lord and Savior. Even Christ said in John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Oh. We don't have to worry about the car wash. It's okay. God's in control. Even when they were on the lake and Jesus was walking on the water and the apostles were so uptight and afraid, they were afraid. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. And then in Luke 12, Jesus said, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. We have the kingdom. All of this that we're going through now is just temporary. We have the kingdom. If you believe in Christ that he died on a cross for your sins, man, we're in heaven. And just so you know, Pam and I are going to be next to Moses. That's where we decided to meet when we die. We're going to find Moses in heaven so that we can talk and we get to see each other. So if anybody wants to join us, we'll be next to Moses. Well, that's what the Gideon ministry does. It tries to take God's word and distribute it throughout the world. That's our mission. To win boys and girls and men and women for Jesus Christ. Those people in the farthest part of Africa who don't know those verses, who don't own a Bible, who don't know about Jesus. That's what the Gideon ministry does, is to try and get them there. And it's an interesting story. I mean, if I told you this story as far as a business, it would be on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. The Gideons were started in 1899 by two salesmen like myself who had to share a room at a YMCA. And when they found out they were both Christians, they got started talking and they said, how can we make a difference as we travel the country in our business? How can we make a difference when we're away from home and from our home church? So those two men got together. Are you ready? Worldwide now, there are 300,000 Gideons and auxiliary members from two men. I'm not here to brag about the Gideons. I'm here to tell you God has blessed this ministry, and because of churches like this, you support us, that we can do these things. So I'm not here to brag. I'm just here to give you a report. The third person involved in the Gideon ministry was a pastor who said, if you guys are willing to give up your time, and if you're willing to place these Bibles, the church should support you. So the church was the third facet or the third piece of the wheel that came in to support our ministry. We're now in over 200 countries. When you see the Olympics coming up, there's 206 countries with their flags around the infield. The Gideons are in 200 of those. And we're just individual men. We're just business owners or businessmen or professionals that pass out God's word for Jesus Christ. So in each country, it's an African person giving to an African person, or in Poland or whatever country that we're in, it's just individual groups doing that. The Bibles that we have are printed in 108 different languages. Pretty amazing that throughout the world that we find out that many. And since that time, since we first started passing them out in 1909, 2.4 billion Bibles have been given out by the Gideons, thanks to churches like you. Interestingly, in the first 80-some years, that was when the first billion was given out, in the first 84 years, I think it is. Then the following 14 years, we gave away another billion. So you can see that huge increase because of technology. In the Medina camp, and we have a camp here in Medina, there's two in Medina County. Medina and Wadsworth each have a camp. In our camp are 33 Gideons and auxiliary. And our responsibility is to hit nursing homes and pass out God's word. That has changed this year. We're not allowed in. And I think at a time when they need it the most in those buildings, to have God's word, and we're not allowed in, obviously. Medina Hospital, we supply the hospital. I just took 100 there this week that they give to patients that ask for a copy of God's word. And you can sense that a person goes into a hospital and feels that need or that pressure. And the Gideons are there to make sure that hospital New Testament is there, large print on New Testament. Doctor's offices, the auxiliary handle. Hotels, we're responsible for all the hotels in the Medina area. That's changed too, because as the franchises grow and other people are buying these hotels, a lot of them are Muslims, and the Muslims are throwing the Gideon Bibles out. So we're not allowed in some of these hotels, but we continue to ask and we continue to pray for that. Schools, we're in schools for Medina. We stand on the street corner between Claggett and the high school, and we pass out 300 to 400 Bibles on that day, but we're not allowed in a lot of the other areas because it's farther off the road. Salvation Army gives away baskets at Thanksgiving. The Gideons put a New Testament in there for each family. It's pretty cool that we partner with them. Love, Inc. Partners with us, and I had an interesting flyer from them that they sent out. Love, Inc. is a great organization that partners with churches also and helps people in need as far as housing and food. But in their flyer they put out in the mail, it said, Pam recently contacted Love, Inc. in need of furniture. The only furniture she and her six-year-old daughter had in their living room was lawn furniture. Through the generosity of others, we were able to give Pam a donated love seat, chair, end table. And before we left the home, we gave him a Gideon Bible, and we prayed with him. So Love, Inc. is not just helping him physically, but they're helping him spiritually with the help from the Gideons. So we're grateful for that partnership that we have there. Now, the men are our group of Gideons, our teachers, our vice president of a grocery store, a retired NASA engineer, a couple business owners, a couple salesmen. So it's just a group of businessmen and their wives who are concerned and want to win souls for Christ. So that's what makes up the Medina camp. There's a church in Medina that has a food pantry, and once a month they have over 300 families come and pick up food baskets and toiletries and so on, and we were pleased to be able to put in New Testaments in those baskets too. So we're grateful. Internationally, our international headquarters is in Nashville, Tennessee, and what we do internationally to help everyone out, because there are several hundred countries out there that make less than $300 a year on their average income, so we help those financially. And we also do what's called a Bible Blitz. So we have a Bible Blitz. The last one was in Mexico, and I think we have some slides of that that will show that we go to not only to the colleges to pass out one-on-one, but we also go to the schools and pass out New Testaments at the schools. And incredibly, in these foreign countries that don't have the access like we have in the United States, these kids just love and are starving for God's Word. So as part of our ministry, actually Gideons from all over the world ended up in Mexico to pass out these over a three-day period. So it was pretty amazing, as you can see that last picture there. It's pretty neat. We have a Gideon member in our camp who's actually out of Cincinnati, and he has involved in a ministry called Glory to God International Ministry, and he goes to Nigeria with his ministry, and he went to an orphanage. The orphanage was a result. Remember Boko Haram, the group that took 300 girls from their home, from their school? This orphanage was from that, from a spin out from that. And there were 125 orphans in this orphanage, that they were all members of families that were killed from the Boko Haram. Families had died because they said, "I believe in Christ," and so they killed them. And in some cases, the children saw their parents die. In other cases, the children ran away and ended up in this orphanage. Well, Jim went over there as part of his mission to help this orphanage and build some buildings. And the first time he went, there were 125. He went back last month. There's 1,250 orphans in this orphanage now from the results of the Boko Haram. And Jim partnered with the Gideons in Nigeria this last time and was able to give a Bible to each person, each child in this orphanage. And Jim recounts it. He says, "As I got in my truck and pulled away and I turned around to wave goodbye," he says, "there's all the women and all the teachers and all the children waving their Bibles. That was because of churches like you and individuals like you. And we're grateful for that. We are touching the world, touching hearts, and saving people with a knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we're grateful for that. Does this old ministry work? It's been around 121 years. It's not as old as your church, but we're close. Does it work? We get 55 letters a day that says, "Yes, I accepted Jesus Christ as a result of a Bible placed." Whether it's in a hotel or a motel or a doctor's office or a school, even in the armed forces, we give, as someone's inducted in the armed services, we give a Bible and New Testament to that individual. It was suspended under Obama. We weren't allowed to do it. President Trump brought us back, and I don't know what's going to happen with this administration. But a ministry does work. So thanks for having me. If you have any questions, I'd love to answer them. But I am here to ask for a couple things. Please pray for us. Just put us on your prayer calendar. A quick prayer for Gideons. We'd love to. We need to get in more churches like this. We'd love to have more members. Men, if you'd love to join us, it's $60 to buy a pin for a year and pass out Bibles. We pledge, each one of us pledges to pass out one Bible a week. So whether it's at a grocery store, at the gas station. In our case, we had a washer dryer. The washer got the skiddies. We put the wash in, it would come back half an hour later and it skidded all the way across the floor. So we found out we had to buy a new washer. So we bought a washer, and we bought it from Costco, believe it or not. We went to a retail place, and retail places said 30 to 45 days delivery at the most. It'll probably be longer than that. We went to Costco online, and it was within 10 days. So these two guys from Costco pull up to our house, and they lift up this heavy washer, and they come downstairs, and they disconnect the dryer, and they carry the other one out. Very professional. It was done in 15, 20 minutes. My wife made homemade chocolate chip cookies for them. And they really liked that. So when they came up and got their signature, I gave them a bag of homemade chocolate chip cookies. And I gave them a very generous tip because they didn't break anything, and it was pretty clean, and it was well done. And then I gave them a copy of a New Testament. And they were so excited. And I don't know if it was over the cookies or the New Testament, but anyway. I had one more question for him, and I stuck my head out the door, and I said, hey, where's this or where's that? And he told me where it was. He said, by the way, he says, this guy here, this is the first Bible anyone's ever given him. Huh. The need's still there, even here. People need to hear the word, and people need to have it in front of them. Recently, because of this generation, which is, they really don't like to read these little things, Gideon's came out with a Bible app, so it goes on their phone. 160 languages it's printed in. It's pretty cool, the Bible app. It also reads it to you. So if you go to gideons.org, you'll be able to download that. Let me close in prayer. Father God, I love you. Thanks for your blessings. Thanks for this church continuing the fight. Thanks for this church. We pray for it as they search for a pastor. We pray for this church every day that they're reaching out, not only in these walls, but beyond these walls. We are the church outside of here too, and we pray that you would help us to do that. We pray for the leadership, the 11 people in charge of all the different intricacies of picking out a pastor. We know, I heard Russ say this last week, the pastor's already been chosen. God's already chosen him. We just have to find him. So, Father, help us to find that individual that will lead this church and keep it strong and keep it going and keep the heritage and the history going. And we plead with you, Father, please, please help us do this correctly so that you will be satisfied. Most of all, I thank you for saving a sinner like me so that I'll have eternity with you forever. I'm grateful for that.
Thank you, Steve, for sharing about Gideon's, and well, we appreciate what partnership we've had with the Gideon's, and we thank you, and we thank God for that, and thank God for reminding us as far as who's in charge, that we have no need to fear, that God is in charge, and he's going to take care of it. He's going to handle it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, indeed we're thankful, Lord, that our hearts are in gratitude for what you have done, what you are doing in each of us. Lord, what you're doing within our body as well. We thank and we praise you, Lord, for the time that we have to hear about your word, that how the Gideons are sharing your word throughout the world, Lord, and how your word is touching hearts and drawing others to you. We thank you, Father, for this time that we have and the support that we have with the Gideons praying for us and how we can support them as well. Lord, for your generosity with us. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to work in us, to mold and make us more like your Son. Lord, as we continue to search your heart for who you are calling for us as well, that we are called to you. In Jesus' name, we commit this day to you. Amen. Thank you.